Tonight I want to talk about a certain topic that I think we all struggle with time to time. I certainly know and will be the first to tell you that this is something that I struggle with in my day-to-day life as a Christian and working for the Lord. This is something that is given to us by God that is meant for good. And just like a lot of things given to us by the good Lord that are meant for good and that are used for something that is good that He has given us, we can oftentimes abuse. We take it for granted, and knowing that it is from the Lord and it is meant for good works and it is meant for our pleasure in certain things, if we do it and take these things and use them as good, but sometimes we fall into that category of abusing these things. You can see it with different things in this world, from resources to ideas and to certain opportunities and privileges that we have as people on this earth and our freedom in this good country of America. And we can see the good things that we have, but oftentimes we take these things and we abuse them and they turn from good into bad, something that is meant and intended to give us something for good. And we take this and distort it and turn it into something bad. And so tonight I want to talk about recreation in a Christian's life. What is recreation? We define this term as something that is used to refer to an activity that stimulates the mind, body, or soul. It's something that we do for ourselves. We do for fun. We do to relieve stress and to recreate ourselves from the different things we do in this life that we have to do to thrive. We know we have different responsibilities as people on this earth, certainly spiritual responsibilities, but even so those things that are physical in nature. Our jobs that we go to, we provide for our families, and we work for a living, and this causes stress. This causes for us to be tired, and we grow wearisome of these things. And so God has given us recreation as something we use to take this stress off. It's a relief from the day-to-day work we have, not only as a Christian and working for the Lord, but as this physical life we have our different things we work for to thrive on this earth physically. But recreation can include anything that you take joy in. It can be reading a book, it can be watching a TV show, a movie, engaging in sports or in extracurricular activities with regard to work or school or anything you can think of that you take pleasure in that is a hobby of yours is recreation. I want to talk about that tonight. But recreation is a positive thing. Generally, this is something given to us by the Lord that is good and for us to use as it is a good thing. If you would turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. And the writer of this book, throughout this book, is talking about the vanity of life and what we are here for. Why are we doing the things we are doing? What is the true meaning of life? Of course, he concludes that in the 12th chapter, and we'll talk about that some later. But he talks about recreation here. He talks about the positive nature of recreation and what it is to be used for. And we can see a certain area we can take this to. And we can see a point in which it is abused. And we'll talk about that later. But in Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 14, the writer tells us that there is a vanity which occurs on earth, that there are just men to whom it happens according to the work of the wicked. Again, there are wicked men to whom it happens according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. And we all see this in our lives, that there are evil men and there are evil people who have wicked intentions, and they alone are reaping the benefits of something that should be reaped by a righteous person. Where there are people that are growing in their desires for riches, and that is their sole purpose on this earth, to gain riches no matter what the cost. They're going to do anything they can to become famous, to become rich. They'll sell you out and stab you in the back, and yet they are the ones that are being praised. And likewise, there are the righteous people. Oftentimes, these are people that are Christians. It's us. We're doing what we're supposed to do in the Word of God, and we are listening to the Word of God, and we are doers of the Word and not hearers only. And we go out into the world and people make fun of us. They despise us and persecute us and say, you aren't doing what is normal in this life. They want us to conform to the world, and we know we are to be separate and apart from the world. And because of that, we are persecuted. And this is what he's saying in verse 14. So he says in verse 15, because of this, he says, I commend enjoyment, because a man has nothing better under the sun than to eat, drink, and be merry. For this will remain with him in his labor all the days of his life, which God gives him under the sun. We are laboring every day in our lives. We have a labor we do spiritually for the Lord and for the furtherance of the borders of his kingdom. And we have the work we do to thrive on this earth. A man has to work in order to eat. And we all know this, and we come to that conclusion through the scriptures and then through logic of everyday life, that you have to work to earn money. And then when you earn that money, you spend it on the things that are necessary, but you also spend it on some things that are used for recreation. The different entertainment that we use, the different types of things we go to, and the events we involve ourselves in, this is good and right in the sight of the Lord if we use it in a way that he tells us to. He says, nothing is better under the sun than to eat, drink, and be merry. This is what the Lord has given us. He's given it to us because he knows that life isn't fair, that the righteous are persecuted and that the wicked are exalted, and life just isn't how it should be, and that's just how it is. And we have to accept that. But God gives us a gift of recreation to engage ourselves in, to free us from this stress and this trouble that we find ourselves in this life. If you would turn back to chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and in verse 9. We read here that this is a direct gift from God. That this recreation you have, this ability to enjoy life. Everything we have that is good comes from the Father of lights. We read that in James chapter 1. And we know that anything we have that is good in nature is from him. Whether it be a spiritual thing of grace in Christ and that mercy that we receive and the hope of heaven we have, or the things that we enjoy such as food and entertainment and all these enjoyable things we have through recreation, it is given to us from God. And in verse 9 of Ecclesiastes 3, it says, what profit has the worker from that which he labors? I have seen the God-given task which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to end. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Sometimes we roll out of bed and we don't want to necessarily go to work. It's not something that we always look forward to. It is labor. It is work. That's what it's called. That is what it is. But it's something necessary, something that God has set out for us to do. We are not to be lazy. We are to be as the ant who works day in and day out to prepare things for himself to thrive on this earth. And it is what we are to do as well. And God understands this, that it is tiresome and that it is wearisome. And he says that every man should eat, drink, and enjoy all the good of his labor. There is good that comes out of it. We are to enjoy the food that we eat. We are to enjoy the things that we have, our clothes on our backs, and the houses and shelters that we live in to shelter us from the elements, but as well as the recreation we engage in as a matter of something we glean from our labor. We receive money, and it is not only to allow us to thrive and give us the necessities, and God promises that we'll have that. Not everyone has the entertainment that they wish to have, but we are fortunate enough that God has given us these things. Whether it just be laying on your back and relaxing and looking up at the creation God has given us and the stars and the heavens, or whether you're watching TV and just enjoying yourself, this is something that we can enjoy because it is from the good of our labor, and that is a gift from God. It is something that helps us recharge. In the second chapter of Ecclesiastes, we read a little bit more about this recreation. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and beginning in verse 18. Of course, we know that work is tiresome. It drains us of our energy. And then on top of that, we have the sole responsibility and the number one priority of serving God and keeping his commandments. And part of that is assembling together and worshiping him. And then we have the meeting that comes, and we go every single night. And on top of that, you have the kids to worry about at home, and it's tiresome. You grow weary, and you get just tired of it, and you want to just lay down and forget all about it and rest. And this is part of what recreation is. It helps us recharge. In chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes, in verse 18, he says, "I hated my labor in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will rule over all my labor in which I toiled, in which I have shown myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity. Therefore I turned my heart and despaired of all the labor of which I had toiled under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, yet he must leave his heritage to a man who has not labored for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what has man for all his labor and for the striving of his heart with which he has toiled under the sun? For all his days are sorrowful and his work burdensome. Even in the night, his heart takes no rest. This also is vanity." So here in this context, we see a man who is working and working and working. And eventually, he either gets too old where he cannot do that work anymore, or he retires from that occupation and leaves it to a man who he doesn't know what he's going to do with it. All this stuff that I've gathered up and worked toward could be thrown away and wasted away in a minute's notice just because the person who has taken over it after I was done with it doesn't know what to do with it. And he is a foolish man in his ways in which he's going about this work. And he says this causes vanity. This causes to be tired. And he has a man for all his labor and the striving of his heart. And he's toiled under the sun, and his days are sorrowful. But notice in verse 24, "Nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. Who can eat or who can have enjoyment more than I? For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight, but to the sinner he gives the work of gathering and collecting, that he may give to him who is good before God. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind." So nothing is better than to enjoy the labor in which you've done. And that is through the recreation we have. We see, we enjoy the things we work for. We gather that money and it goes toward a purpose. We have the things that we need, the necessities of life. And on top of that, we have enjoyment through this, through the various acts of entertainment and just entertaining ourselves in our daily lives. And this helps us recharge from this everyday life of working. Now, work is the number one priority, obviously. We're not on this earth to have fun. We are here to serve God and keep His commandments. And in order to do that, we must work physically so that we can give nutrients and the necessities to our bodies so that we can accomplish that spiritual work in God's kingdom. And this causes us to grow weary and tired, so recreation is there for us. So this is a good thing that we have from God. But this is something that can be abused. It can be misused, and I think that it happens more often than not that someone takes recreation, and instead of it being something that is positive in a Christian's life and helps him recharge to where he can wake up the next morning and be a better person, a better Christian, ready and fueled to go out and do the Lord's work, and instead they take this recreation and they use it for evil. They view terrible things. They view sinful things. They fill their minds with these evil thoughts through the media and through the different forms of recreation and entertainment. And it's doing the complete opposite of what it's intended for. We are doing something, we're taking something that is good and turning it into something that is detrimental to our faith and that can tear our faith down and tear our faith apart. So we need to understand what are our priorities on this earth. Well, in Ecclesiastes 12, in verse 13, we see the ecclesiastical writer. He concludes this whole matter in Ecclesiastes 12, in verse 13. He says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." So he has talked about the vanity of life and how we work and toil in the sun, and it brings tiresome things to us, and we're tired of it, and we're growing weary of it. So God gives us recreation. But don't be fooled, because the number one priority on this earth, this is why we're here, to fear God and keep His commandments. So why would you take recreation that God has given us for good and turn it into something that is going to be detrimental to the exact point we're here on this earth for. See, we view movies and television, and we listen to music and read books and magazines and look at pictures and hang out at different places that a Christian should have no part of. And we're taking this time as recreation given to us by the Lord to recharge. And instead of recharging us to where we're better able to serve the Lord spiritually, we're just tearing ourselves down spiritually. And it's the complete opposite of what is intended for. We see this too often, and this is something that I've struggled with before. You're not alone in this. I'm not saying that I'm perfect and I'm not struggling in this point, because this is probably my weakest point as a Christian, because it's all around us. Anytime we go somewhere, we are looking to be entertained. And that's a problem with churches as well. People are going to church to be entertained. And that's not what we're here for. And that becomes our number one priority. And in doing that, we view things that are detrimental to our faith. If you would turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. We see that Jesus has this great commandment. This number one commandment that everyone should engage in. And it is the most important commandment because on it hangs all the law. He says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." In Matthew 22 and verse 37. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." If you love the Lord your God, you are not going to sin. If you completely fulfill that commandment, you are not going to sin. And if you love your neighbor as yourself, you are not going to sin against your neighbor. So that personal sin is not there. We know loving God is keeping His commandments. John 14 and verse 15. This is why we're here. To fear God and keep His commandments. And His number one commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And when we add this recreation into our lives that is sinful in nature and that has all those fleshly lusts that are listed in Galatians 5, and we'll get to that in a second, we are not helping our faith at all. Recreation is something that is given to us by God to help us grow as a Christian, to help aid us in serving Him and keeping His commandments. And when we use it in a different way, it just completely changes it around. And in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, we read one of the commandments that God has given us. He says, "All authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." I want you to picture this hypothetical situation here for a second. You have a Christian who is doing everything they're supposed to do. They are fulfilling this commandment to the letter. Go therefore, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. So they are going out and preaching the gospel. They're baptizing someone every time they get the chance. And in doing this, they're doing it 24/7 every single day of the week. And that's going to eventually wear on them. They're going to be tired. They're going to be wearisome. They're going to have to take some time to recharge. And so they go and watch a movie. Something they want to do. Maybe it's the favorite thing that they have to do. Maybe it's read a book or play video games or just go hang out with some friends. And that movie they view has a ton of filth in it. And it has the lusts of the flesh. It has sex in it and drugs and profanity and violence. And all of these things that a Christian is told to abstain from. What is he doing to himself? You see, in fulfilling this command and going out and teaching people, he is going and viewing the same thing he is teaching against. And this recreation is not helping him in fulfilling this commandment. Rather, it is filling his mind with poison that is going to eventually deteriorate his entire spiritual being. We cannot grow and work in this way as a Christian in viewing these things in recreation and filling our lives with this when this is something, recreation is something that shouldn't even be our number one priority. And we make it that because we want to do the things that we have a desire for rather than viewing things that are in recreation and help us recharge but that are pleasing in the sight of God. God would not include in His command to go out and to watch a filthy movie or to read a filthy book or to view a filthy media. He would tell you to abstain from that, teach against it. So why would you do it in your downtime? Why would you do it in your recreation? It doesn't make any sense, and it is completely illogical. If you would turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. So we saw that our number one priority is to obey God and keep His commandments. But we have some more priorities in this life. Some more things in which we dwell on. Some more things that are important to us. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6, we read about working for our needs. Working for the things we need in this flesh. And one of the priorities of man is to provide for his family. And if it's a single mother, she needs to provide for her family. Whether we like it or not, we are on this earth to work. And recreation is something we do in our downtime. It is not something we fill our entire lives with. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and beginning in verse 6, Paul writes, "We command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil day and night that we might not burden any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." So we have some people who are just busybodies. They're not working for what they get. They're just feeding off of other people. They're just smooching off of other people's work and toil under the sun and all their work toward the things they gather for their necessities in life to provide for their family. And instead of them working themselves for these things, they're just taking it from them. And they're not working for it. They're not toiling for anything. They're just taking from others. He says, do not grow weary in doing good. You're doing the right thing. You're following our commandment. You're following our example. And he says that there are those who are doing this, and he says, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. So here we have a basic principle. If you don't work, you're not going to eat. And that involves labor in this life. And that's why we have this recreation, because it's something that is for a moment to recreate, and then you get back to work. And we can abuse it and using it over and over again and making our life recreational. We're not here to have fun. We're here to work to eat so we can provide ourselves the nutrition and the necessities to further ourselves towards God's kingdom. And we're here to fear Him and keep His commandments. He commands us to go forth and make disciples of all nations. And in doing that, we're going to have physical necessities. So we work for that. We have to work to eat. But recreation is something that is a plus. It's an added thing. It's something that we should not involve our entire lives in. Rather, it is something that is just for a moment. And so it is preposterous to have recreation that is detrimental to our faith. We would not want to take something that is meant for good and that is meant for just the mere fraction of our lives and turn it into something that is evil and is going to involve ourselves into all this sin that we see in the world. So our entertainment can be filled with these filthy things. If you would turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. In talking about this recreation and entertainment, the biggest part of life is entertainment. That's where the money is. That's where the most rich people and wealthy people are, is in the entertainment industry, whether it be professional sports or movies or musicians or anything of that matter. That's where the money is, and that's where all the focus is. That's where advertising is toward entertainment. They want to make commercials funny, even for businesses that don't even provide entertainment, but they make their commercials funny and all this stuff so that they can gain that money and gain that membership in their different businesses and the things that they provide. This is what life is all about to most people, is entertainment. And because of this, they focus their time and effort on putting things that people accept. And the things that are alluring to most people are sadly not spiritual things. They are things that are of the flesh and according to the flesh. And we read here in Galatians 5 and beginning in verse 19, the works of the flesh. And then while we read these works of the flesh, I want you to think about the different things that you've seen throughout your life in entertainment and see how many of these things match up with the things that you have viewed before. Because I know most of them match up with something that I've seen or heard or read or listened to before. It says, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You take the concept of recreation. This is something to help us further ourselves in the spiritual work toward laboring for Christ. And this is to help our case in inheriting this kingdom of God and inheriting eternal life. But he says here, these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So why would we enter those into our recreational lives? Why would we view such things that are not going to help us inherit eternal life? It doesn't make any sense. We're putting something that is detrimental to our faith into something that is supposed to be good for us and that is supposed to help further ourselves in God's kingdom. And we see this in the different movies and different and various entertainments and song and video games and magazines. You name it. Whatever it is that you entertain yourself with, there's going to be some kind of work of the flesh. And it doesn't need to be there. We don't need to accept this. If we can't find something to watch or do that is clean and good and wholesome, that is going to help us and not lead our minds away in temptation, then we don't need to be doing anything. There are plenty of things we can do as Christians amongst ourselves and with each other that are going to further our faith in Jesus Christ and our working toward these spiritual things. In Galatians 5 and verse 16, the Bible tells us to avoid these things. It says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. These things are contrary to one another. So when you add these lusts of the flesh into your recreational life, then you are no longer walking in the Spirit. Even if it's just a fraction of your life, that's what recreation is. We're not spending our entire days watching TV and movies and just having fun with entertainment. That's not what we do. We work and we toil, and then we do this to recreate ourselves. But when we add these things in, we are not being of the Spirit. We are being fleshly minded, carnally minded, and this is not going to help us inherit the kingdom of God. But it shows us here in verse 22 that instead of doing these things, you should abstain from these fleshly lusts and engage ourselves in the fruit of the Spirit. In verse 22, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. These are the things that we should engage in. These are the things that we should focus on, these type of good things in our recreation, instead of filling our lives with this filth and these terrible things that are in recreation. In Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, in verses 1 through 5, we read of how we should walk as children. We should walk in love. It says, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love, Ephesians chapter 5, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for the saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. Even though your friends and maybe even parts of your family are engaging in this entertainment, and they're accepting these things that are contrary to Christ and the Spirit, It doesn't mean you have to. It says, therefore, do not be partakers with them. And in fact, it says in verse 3, let it not even be named among you. This is not even something that we should have in our entertainment. It should not be named among us. We may not be engaging in these acts, and we may not be actually doing these things, but when we are accepting them in our recreation, in that small fraction of our life, it is named among us. You see Jeremiah go out there and he watched that dirty movie? He must like that kind of stuff. He must go to church and they don't preach against that. It's okay. It's acceptable in the eyes of God, because I know Jeremiah to be a spiritual man, and he's going and he's watching these movies for fun, and they're filthy and filled with these things. So it's okay. That's what we're showing to people when we have our recreational lives filled with these things. It says, let them not even be named among you. That's what a Christian is. When you talk about the concept of holiness, even if something is not inherently sinful, but it is just getting as close to the line as possible, as being close to those sinful things, whether you're doing it or not, you're just kind of around it, you're kind of accepting it in a way just because you're engaging in that entertainment, that's not being holy, for God is holy. If you look at the general concept, it doesn't matter what you do. If it is not holy, it is not acceptable to the Lord. And these different things in entertainment, from the least bit of things that seem the least harmful to the most harmful things, and the worst movies you could ever see or view, or songs you could hear or things you could read, they are all detrimental to our faith and should not be a part of us in our Christian lives. Instead, we are told to pursue righteous things and things that are helpful for our lives. This should be in our entertainment. This should be in our downtime to recreate ourselves, to go out and serve God and keep His commandments. Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11, "You, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness." Now, Timothy was a preacher, and Paul was writing him to these things to further his work in God's kingdom and to help him out in the long, but he was a Christian. And this is written to us as well, because all Scripture is inspired by God and is for the man of God to use. And so we see this, that we are to flee these things, flee these terrible youthful lusts and these different things according to the flesh, the lust of the flesh in Galatians 5, and instead pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Now, when you go back to that hypothetical situation that I was talking about earlier, where the man was going out and doing everything possible to fulfill that commandment of making disciples of all nations and teaching them all the things that Christ has taught them, and he is doing this, and in doing that, he is abstaining from these sinful things. Well, he adds these sinful things into his entertainment. He is not pursuing righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. He is pursuing the lust of the flesh. And that's the complete opposite of what we're told to do. Instead, I'd suggest you turn with me to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, where we see a list of things that are good to think about. A list of things that are good to dwell on that we are commanded to enter into our lives. Paul says to the church in Philippi, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Now, this meditation here in this passage is the complete opposite of the meditation seen in the eastern part of the world, in Buddhism and then the different Asian cultures. They're sitting there and, you know, they're chanting that Om or whatever they're doing, and they're completely freeing their mind of any thought. And that is the concept of that meditation, is to completely empty your mind of all thought so that you can relax and that you can get into that zone, whatever it is they do. This meditation is the complete opposite. He says, meditate on these things. That means fill your mind. Dwell upon these things. Think about them. Listen to them and fill your mind with these things. These are things that we should think about every single day of our lives. Sometimes I sit there and meditate in the office. I type up a lesson and I get everything together and I study it. And I sit there and think about it, because these things are good and noble and just, and these are things that I need to think about to figure out what to tell y'all in my sermons. And that is meditation. I'm thinking about these things, thinking about how to apply them to my life, thinking about how to spread them to others, thinking about how to include them in my life more than what I've been doing. We are meditating on these things, and that's what we are to do. But when we view these things in entertainment, we're doing the complete opposite of that. We are meditating on the fleshly lust. And if we meditate on those things, that is what our life is going to portray. That is the fruit in which we are going to yield. We do what we view. You may think that you are above this and that it doesn't affect you. My conscience is seared to that, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't make me lust toward these things. The temptation is not there for me. And viewing this movie, it's just good and fun, and it's innocent. But you keep filling your mind with that, you're going to find yourself doing those things that you're viewing. It's just logical. If you are going to watch them and you're going to fill your mind with these things, if you're going to listen to these things, eventually you're going to slip up and do them because you are desensitizing yourself to these things. Also, another part of recreation is hanging out with people. What company do you surround yourself with? In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, Paul writes to the church in Corinth, "To not be deceived, evil company corrupts good habits." So it is just the same in our entertainment and recreation with your fellow people on this earth, that if you are involving yourself with these people who are unholy and unrighteous, and they aren't meditating on these pure things, instead their allurement is toward these sinful things and the lust of the flesh, and you're hanging around them while they're doing these things, whether you're engaged in them or not, they're going to corrupt your good habits. You cannot maintain a good Christian life and a good Christian example by hanging out with people of the world. Now, you should be an influence on them. Invite them to services. Invite them to Bible studies. Try to influence them with your good characteristics and being a Christian. But if you hang out with them and if you involve yourself in recreation with them, you are going to turn into one of them. Your good habits are going to become corrupt, and you are not going to have the characteristics needed to be a Christian. Instead, we are to be different from the world. In Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, Paul writes, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." And what does he say? "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." If you read the article in the bulletin that I've had out this morning, you would see that throughout time, especially in the 60s, there was a change going on. People wanted a change. All of a sudden, the things that were shameful back in the decade previous, they wanted to bring to light. The entertainment industry grew corrupt, and filthiness crept in. And sexual immorality in the movies crept in. All of a sudden you have this character of James Bond, who is a womanizing character who goes out and kills people and then sleeps with women. And that's what his life is all about. That's what he's known for. In fact, you ask anybody, what would you think of about James Bond? What first comes to mind? Well, he's a pretty good action hero. Okay, that's one thing. What's the next thing? He sleeps with a lot of women. He's the man, you know, that's what people aspire to these days, and that's what they look forward to, and that is the change that has been going on, and it started even before then. This has always been present. Sin has always been present, and acceptance for it has always been present, but instead of still having that culture in the 50s where people didn't want to be seen, and they didn't want their daughter to go to school as a pregnant teenager because it was shameful, so they kept him home. Instead, you go out into high schools and you see a ton of pregnant women, a ton of pregnant teenagers, and it's because there's no shame in it. In fact, most of them want to be pregnant to get the attention. You even have in the media and the entertainment, Teen Mom on MTV or whatever station it's on. That's accepting these different things. That is bringing them to a positive side. Instead, they should be on the negative side. They should be abstained from. They should be shameful. And instead, we are conforming to the world by entering these things into our entertainment. In James chapter 1 and verse 27, James writes that pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. That's something that we have to do as a Christian, unspotted from the world. That means we're not anything like the world. We are completely different from them. You cannot suggest that we are part of the world because we are completely different people, sanctified in Christ. And we are to be unspotted from the world. If we accept these things in our recreation, we are not being unspotted from the world. There's an accountability that we have with each other as Christians. If we involve ourselves in entertainment and recreation with other Christians, then we have that accountability there. Okay, me and my friend, this other Christian, are going to go see a movie today. What are we going to see? Well, one guy thinks it's a good idea to go see this rated R film filled with all this stuff that we're talking about. We need to abstain. Well, there's an accountability there. No, let's not go see this. And he's not going to tell you, are you crazy? There's nothing wrong with this, because you can go to Galatians 5 and say, look, this is wrong. We're filling our extra time with ungodly things instead of filling our minds with these things that we read of in Philippians 4 and verse 8. There's no way he can deny that. There's an accountability that we can have and hold as Christians one to another. We need to be sure that we are there for each other. We need to make sure we're doing what is necessary to please God at all times, even during our recreational events. And there's an accountability there that we have in Christ. We have fellowship through Christ and the death that he died on the cross. And we're baptized into him and we are added to the church. And there is a fellowship there. And we need to use that in a positive manner by holding each other accountable for the things we do in our recreational activities. If you would turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And this is drawing our lesson to a close. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We need to not forget why we are here. We need to understand that we are here to serve God and keep his commandments. And he gives us recreation as a positive thing to rejuvenate ourselves in the furtherance of his service, in the furtherance of getting to heaven and serving him for eternal life. And that's what recreation is for, to recharge ourselves as we're here on this earth. And so we should be careful to not poison this good and virtuous thing by putting in the lust of the flesh into our recreation, and we should abstain from it. But there's a thing that comes to mind every time we talk about these things, that there are some who figure out that this doesn't bother them as much as it may someone over here. Perhaps they are grown up different, they are raised differently, and something is accepted that should not be accepted, and they understand that it shouldn't. But because I grew up and it was okay and it was normal, it does not tempt me the way it would tempt this person over here. And so they think that they are invincible to the lust of the flesh. But if we fill our minds with these things in our day-to-day lives, it is going to creep in and it's going to become a part of us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul is talking to the church in Corinth about the Old Testament examples, about how they wandered through the wilderness and the sin that they committed and the sexual immorality that was present and the idolatry, and how 23,000 fell. And it says that we should not follow these people, but we should use them as an example and to abstain from the things that they grew toward. In verse 11, he says, now all these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for admonition upon the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, to let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. That's a direct statement toward anyone thinking that they are above sin, because not one of us is. You know, then sin is in the world and it entered through Adam. We talked about this morning. And sin is completely above us. We cannot rise above it. The only way we can be righteous and accounted as a righteous person is because Christ died on the cross for our sins. And that's the only way. So if we put him out of the picture and accept these fleshly lusts which are warring against our soul, and instead of fighting against them and abstaining from them, we accept them in our entertainment, then we're going to fall. We're not above sin. But we have assurance in verse 13 that no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. With life comes temptation, and with temptation comes an escape. But if you fill your mind and your thoughts and your recreational part of your life with evil and corrupt things that we are to abstain from, that escape is going to grow dim and dim to where you can't even see it. It's still going to be there, but it's not going to be visible to you, because you are filling your mind with these terrible things, and you're clouding your vision and your judgment as a Christian. And we're to abstain from these things. Recreation is a good thing. It's a good thing that we should all engage in from time to time. It is a gift from God, but we should not poison this gift. We should not turn this good thing into something bad just because of our own worldly desires. And we should do this as a good thing. And remember that we are to cling to these good things and do godly things that help us get to heaven and to further his borders. And so I offer the invitation tonight. that if there is anyone in the audience who have not yet began their walk as a Christian and turned away from these terrible things in this life and have clinged to the spiritual things and began his walk as a Christian in the furtherance of the borders of God's kingdom, you can do so tonight. You can come forward and put him on in obedience through baptism. But if you have done that and you have fallen away and you have figured out that you are taking recreation and turning it into something that is evil and detrimental to your faith and you need to get on the right path, you can do so. You can leave this place and you can go into your closet and pray to God. He will forgive you. He promises he will forgive us as long as we repent of our sins. If it is of a public nature and you think you need to bring it forward to the church's attention, then now is the time to do so. You should not delay any longer. So if you have any spiritual need, we are here to assist you as we stand and sing the song of invitation.